In fact, in the stories we've read for the day, keeping the Sabbath and the rules are at the heart of their questions to Jesus. Questions that they're trying to trip him up on or convict him on. He says, look, why are they doing what is unlawful? Why are they breaking the rules, the laws of the Sabbath? Their primary concern behind the question is the rules for the Sabbath. What is lawful and what is unlawful? Their primary concern is what you can do and what you can't do. And they had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of rules for keeping the Sabbath. And so did many of the folks on my street. And so did many of the folks in the community which I grew up in. So did many of the folks that Mark Buchanan knew, himself included. But then in his book about Sabbath, Buchanan asks his readers a series of questions. He asks, is Sabbath keeping inherently this way? Is Sabbath keeping supposed to be rule-bound? Is this God's design and purpose for Sabbath? What are God's rules for Sabbath? What are God's specifics when it comes to that day? I wanted to know. So take a look with me on the screen. There you're going to find a summary of God's instruction regarding the Sabbath day that is found in the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible. Take a moment to read through them. And as you look at the phrases and some of the verses there, what are some things you notice about the rules, about God's rules for the Sabbath? What words or phrases are there? Rest. Anybody else? What's that? Okay. Labor. Okay. Observe. Okay. When it comes to details, would you say they're specific or vague? Pretty vague. Okay. Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. On it you shall not do any work, right? No work. Rest. Rest. Okay. Okay. That's right. All right. Okay. Some people might get enjoyment. Right? Are you familiar with other instruction that the Lord gives in the Old Testament? If you wanted to be a high priest, there's a chapter in the Bible about being a high priest. And in that, it's very, very specific about who and who can't. Compare that with this. No work, rest, and observe. Three big open words. Not very specific. Right? No work, rest, and observe. Why do you think God doesn't give His people specific rules when it comes to keeping the Sabbath? Why do you think He might leave it a little nebulous, a little open, subject to interpretation, as Dan is articulating here? Buchanan, in his book, thinks that God might be protecting us from something here. He might be protecting us from our temptation to clutter simple things. Two things, Buchanan says, prevent us from entering the reality of the Sabbath. The first is busyness. And we've talked about that, right? We just keep on trucking all the way through, right? Who needs that seventh day? I got six, so I'm going to keep on going. I'm just going to keep on busy. So the routine just keeps on going. So there's no break. Busyness prevents us from entering in. The second thing he says is legalism. Legalism is the reduction of life to technicalities. Legalism substitutes code for conscience, ritual for worship, morality for purity. He says the most bizarre lines of reasoning appear completely natural to a legalist. You may not heal on the Sabbath, but you can plot to kill someone who does. Legalism, he says, prevents us from entering into Sabbath. So often we want to go there, go to the list of things we can and cannot do. And why is that? Why is it? He says it's one of the reasons is it's mindless. The attraction of legalism is that despite all its complexity, he says it's mindless. It's easy because it requires little or no engagement on our behalf. It's sheer mechanics. It's simple arithmetic. It's no more difficult, he says, than cranking a hoist or measuring a length of board. You just follow orders. And in so doing, it draws nothing from your heart. It draws nothing from your mind or your strength or your soul. He says it's kind of like painting by numbers. Have any of you ever done that? 2, red, okay. A 3-year-old can do that. A 30-year-old can do that. And a 65-year-old. It doesn't matter because there's no creativity to it. 2, red. You just pay attention. Right? I don't do this, I do this. Right? Yes? No. It's easy. He says there's another reason we do it. It is because it has inherent rewards. Legalism feels good, he says in a perverse sort of way. It strokes our egos. It fills us with the pleasure of achievement, knowing that we spelled all the words correctly, or we followed all the rules correctly. And even better, we've accomplished some that others have failed at. I didn't mow my lawn on Sunday. Look at that guy. He did it. He says it's like winning a race. It wouldn't mean half as much. Indeed, it wouldn't mean anything at all if my triumph didn't imply that my neighbor lost. He says the secret impetus behind it is competitiveness. And the point is not just to win or to be better, it's to beat everyone else too. So those rules allure us. We want to get in there and be a part of that because it's easy for us. Either I did or I didn't do it. And if I did and Tim didn't, I'm better than Tim. I'm a better Sabbath observer than he is. The problem with those rules, however, is that rules don't automatically restore our relationship with God or with others. We could follow all the rules of Sabbath keeping and still have our hearts and souls unrenewed, unrestored, dry, empty, hurting. Relationships are not automatically maintained or strengthened by checklists. If you're wondering about this, just ask your spouse. Ask your spouse if your relationship is maintained by checklists. Ask your friends if that's how your relationship works. Bought her flowers? Told her I loved her? Vacuumed the carpet? Does that mean everything's hunky-dory? No, that's right. No, it is not. Right? Vacuuming is still wonderful. But that doesn't mean the relationship is wonderful. That's exactly right. Vacuuming is a wonderful thing. I love to vacuum. But it does no correlation to the health of the relationship. Right? I could still be bitter. I could still be angry. And here I'm going, right? Man, it's like... Right? You sound just like the vacuum. But, whoop, got it on there, so voila. Things are all fine and dandy. It doesn't work that way. Right? Something more is needed. Because the religious leaders of Jesus' day were focused on the rules of Sabbath rather than on the God that they were worshiping, the source of Sabbath rest, Derek Morris, in his comments on these verses, says this. He says, they totally missed the true purpose of Sabbath. He says, the Sabbath was given as a time for blessing and for healing. But they had mutilated the Sabbath and made it into a burden. And because Jesus didn't yield to their myriad of man-made rules, they were ready to kill him. He says, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. To substitute the source of Sabbath rest for a list of rules. Right? To want to hug the rules and latch onto those and kill. Do you see the irony there? Do you see the... That is a tragedy if I've ever heard one. What's Jesus' response to this? To this tragedy, this problem that, right? And they're not alone. We like to do this too. Right? What's his response? He says, his response was to reorient their perspective. He says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Not the other way around. They switched it. Sabbath was about, it was a gift for man so that they could connect with God. And they had shoved it aside and they're kind of hugging themselves basically. Look at all the rules I'm keeping. He says, look at what you're doing. Look at what you're missing. Look how this is playing out in your life. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were missing the point of Sabbath, the gift of Sabbath, the purpose of Sabbath. All of the rule-keeping, the rule-checking, the rule-following was preventing and impeding the restoration of their hearts. But Morris reminds us that it's just the greatest tragedy when we too miss the true purpose of the Sabbath. We easily can fall into the same trap of remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Just because it's the right things to do. We can go through the motion. We can go through the list. Just like they were. And we too totally be missing the point. I could not go to work. I could not wash the car. Right? I could not do laundry. And I could still not have my heart restored. Because of this, Buchanan says, Sabbath keeping needs to be an art, more of an art than a science. He says it's more poetry than arithmetic. He says Sabbath keeping is something that we get a knack for, more than we memorize procedures about. He says if the purpose of the Sabbath is to heal, to restore, and to bless, these are artistic things that don't always follow from A to B to C. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah 58. I'm going to try and beat you so I can give you the page number. But if someone beats me... See, there we go. 527. Dan's better, see? No, just kidding. Oh, is it? Man, why don't you just tell me to turn around? Nice. Okay. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. This is the Lord talking to us. Okay. He says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then, he says, you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land, and to feasts on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here the Lord gives a picture of what Sabbath observance is about and what it looks like. In these verses, the Lord makes promises to His people. He says, I promise you joy. I promise you being able to soar above your circumstances, the things that are going on in the land around you. He says, I promise that you will be able to feast on Jacob's inheritance, an inheritance that was given to him by the Lord. So that you'll be able to feast on the inheritance that the Lord will give. The Lord promises restoration. But its promise is given to those who what? Who take a break. Who stop. Who don't do as they please. Who don't go their own way. How about that for a definition of Sabbath? How do I keep the Sabbath? For one day, I'm not going to go my own way. For one day, I'm going to do not as I please. Is that an artistic definition or is that a scientific definition? The Lord promises to give. He promises to give to those who watch their step on the Sabbath and don't use it for their personal advantage. The Lord promises to give to those who treat the Sabbath as a day of joy. God's holy day, a celebration. God promises to give to those who honor the Sabbath by refusing business as usual. By refusing to make money. By refusing to run here and there. The Lord promises to give to those who regularly make time to say no to themselves and their own way, and who say yes to their God and delight in Him. Friends, Sabbath is God's gift to us. God's gift to restore our souls. And Buchanan reminds us that the Sabbath is the one day a week that we can cease from that which is necessary and stop doing what we ought to do so that we can instead embrace and pursue that which gives life. When Jesus broke man-made Sabbath regulations in the Bible, He always went in this direction. He healed. He fed. He claimed the right to rescue those things that had fallen or those things that were lost. This is the direction Jesus went on the Sabbath. Healing, feeding, rescuing, restoring. On the Sabbath, Jesus pursued those things that brought life. My question to you is, are you doing the same? Pray with me.